Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I am Ryan Warmly, joined this morning by Andrew Erickson and Derek Brown. Fellas, we are talking some must-start players here in Week 5. Starts. A month into the season, it always goes quickly. Let's dive right in. Debra, we will start with you, and we will start with the running backs. Give me your three must-start running backs in Week 5.
So I'm going to bring up a guy that a lot of people might not anticipate here, Tyler Allgeier. I think that he's very flex viable this week. We saw those first 2 weeks where he got 15 and a half touches. That could happen this week with Atlanta saying, look, okay, you're really good versus the pass. We're not going to pass the ball. Strange, I know Atlanta wants to run the ball, but they could lean on Bijan, but also Tyler Allgeier this week in a matchup where Houston, seventh highest explosive run rate. It only takes one big run from Tyler Allgeier to pay off. So viable, flex worthy, like him this week. Aaron Jones, next guy I got to bring up here. And this is assuming that, like, okay, his practice reports are good. He's going to be a full go. I know that that game's later in the week, and we're still kind of waiting for that. But I think that the efficiency metrics we've seen from Aaron Jones, such a small sample size, toss that in the trash can. He's still a good running back. This matchup is fantastic versus the Raiders, who have allowed the 12th highest explosive run rate, 11th highest missed tackle per attempt rate. As long as he's healthy, Aaron Jones is going to have a day. And James Conner's the last guy I got to bring up here. We might not look at the Arizona Cardinals offense and say, wow, that's really sexy. I want to play all those dudes. But James Conner, we need to give him his flowers. Playing really good football this year. RB19, averaging almost 90 total yards per game. Tackle breaking metrics are through the roof. Cincinnati cannot stop running backs on the ground. Sixth worst explosive run rate allowed. 14th in yards after contact per attempt allowed. I think James Conner, a lot of people are going to rank him as an RB2 this week. He's got RB1 and high-end RB1 upside this week.
Yeah, Debra, you kind of anticipated it, but I was surprised with the Allgeier, you know, inclusion here, given how the last couple of weeks have gone, the fact that Bijan, it's not like they would want to take carries away from Bijan because he's just been so good. You're right about the matchup, so I'm just kind of curious, like, by the time we get to Sunday morning, how high do you expect to have Allgeier in your ranks?
I've got him, and Worm, you're going to have to tell me where consensus is at on him, because I've got Tyler Allgeier at RB30 right now. And I don't know if that's a hot take. I don't know if it's not. But I might bump him up a little bit higher. I want to make sure I'm above consensus on him. But, like, in the same kind of breath, are we playing Jaylen Warren over Tyler Allgeier? Samaje Perine over Tyler Allgeier? I'm not, but I don't know where ECR sits with that.
So, interestingly enough, you are actually below consensus by one.
Oh,
he's
okay.
RB29. That's in half PPR. That's as of Thursday morning.
So
he's RB29.
All I heard was Tyler Allgeier, RB25. Let's go.
I mean, so yeah, some of the people ahead of him in consensus, Najee Harris, Miles Sanders, are not people you're like excited to start. So I think if you want to be bullish on Allgeier, it is bullish, right? That's the good one. Bearish is the bad one. If you want to be bullish on Allgeier,
yeah, let's go with that.
Then I think it's reasonable to move him up to that high-end RB3 range. Let's do some who should I starts actually here. Now, this tool is free to use at fantasypros.com/start. It's just a player comparison tool when it gives you, you know, the percentage of experts that are picking one player head-to-head over another. You can actually go up to as many as four players at a time. We're just going to do some one-on-ones here, and I will start with Allgeier. And this is in half PPR, by the way. And the guy who's one ahead of him in consensus, Gus Edwards. So, Debra, Tyler Allgeier or Gus Edwards, who are you starting this week?
I'm going to go with the bus, man. I think the bus rolls this week. I've got Gus ranked aggressive. I think aggressive. I mean, I've got Gus as an RB2 this week.
That one you are higher on consensus because he is RB28 currently in the expert consensus ranking.
I love Gus Edwards this week.
You're aggressive there. All right, the next one, Aaron Jones or Alvin Kamara this week?
All right. Right now I have Alvin Kamara because we don't know the health status of Aaron Jones. We get practice reports Friday, Saturday that he's looking fine. Everything's good to go. I'm going to push Aaron Jones above Alvin Kamara.
And then lastly, James Conner or Ramondre Stevenson.
Oh, it's Conner. And that is sad for me to say, but Mondre has not looked good. The only thing that Mondre, the reason he's kept his workload is because as bad as he's looked, Zeke Elliott's looked worse.
Yeah, I asked that one because I know you're a big Ramondre fan, you know, in a vacuum, but the consensus is on Connor there
as
well.
I'm low on Ramondre. I've got him at RB19 this week. Like, yeah. He's an RB2. I won't push him into RB1 range.
Yeah. Erickson, who are your three must-start running backs?
Trust the process, folks. Play guys against the Denver Broncos. So Breece Hall is a must-start running back for me.
Yes.
I don't know if anyone's able to start Breece Hall at all. Like, this year, besides week one, and even that was shaky because he was coming off the injury. So Breece Hall, training wheels are off, according to head coach Robert Saleh, and the Broncos are the number one matchup for running backs. So you got to start him. Like, if you have him on your team, he's done pretty much nothing for you, and this is the spot you got to start him. Like, you can't ignore the matchup. You can't ignore the coach speak. This should be a positive game. Now, does he get 25 touches? Maybe not, because they paid Dalvin Cook a lot of money, and he's probably going to be somewhat still involved. But this is the spot where if you have Breece Hall, you need a spark on your team. I think you got to trot him out there. So he's going to finish what he started.
How high is high enough? Where do you have him at? Because I've got Breece as an RB1 this week. That's what I'm curious about.
I mean, I have an RB20. Like, I don't think that, again, it's still the Jets offense. Like, you know, we don't need to go crazy, but I think that you should just start him.
Well, maybe I'm just going crazy. Run all over the Broncos.
But yeah, he's going to finish what he started last year. You know, he was on pace for 150 yards, two touchdowns against the Broncos until he tore his ACL last year. So going back to that same field, I think it's going to be an emotional game for Breece Hall. I think he gets it done. So he's the guy I'm probably most excited about. I put him in the show sheet like 2 days ago.
I was like, going to say, Erickson, on like Tuesday.
Didn't you put him in caps too?
Breece Hall.
It's like, oh, who's playing the Broncos, Breece Hall? That's my must-start running back this week. Don't let me down, Breece.
Erickson made sure he got his name in, and he was like, all right, got to save this. You can't get him. Breece.
Yes. So going with Breece, and then I'm riding the Gus bus as well. We talked about him a little bit earlier. Gus Edwards for me. Look, the Raiders and Texans couldn't run the ball on offense until they faced the Steelers, because the Steelers have just been atrocious against the run back-to-back weeks. Gus Edwards looked good last week coming off the concussion, 15 carries for 48 yards. He had a 69% snap share, which is pretty high for a Ravens running back when they usually are always going running back by committee between Justice Hill and Melvin Gordon. But it was clear that Edwards was operating as the bell cow, and he also had three targets, and he actually had a really high route participation at 65%. So if we're getting any additional juice in the receiving game for Gus Edwards, along with goal line touches, along with just rushing efficiency, which he always comes with whenever you start him, I feel confident starting Gus Edwards this week against a reeling Steelers defense. And then my last guy on the other side of that matchup with the Broncos and the Jets, Jaleel McLaughlin. You know, you picked him up off the waiver wire this week, most likely. I do not think Javonte Williams is going to play. He did not practice on Wednesday. When you start the week with a DNP, more often than not, you don't play that week, especially because now it's like he left the game with a hip injury. Now they're saying it's a quad injury. So it's like, I don't know what, you know, is going out of Denver right now. But considering he's coming off a season-ending injury last year, it doesn't make a lot of sense for me to have them play him in this matchup. So I don't think Javonte is going to play, where McLaughlin was a top 10 running back last week in half PPR because he scored a touchdown. And even though he played less snaps than Samaje Perine, he still went 7 for 72. He had a 31-yard long rush, caught a touchdown, 32 yards on three targets. RB9 last week, like I said, a top 10 running back. And even though he only played 33% of the snaps, 16 total snaps, he touched the ball on 63% of them. So when he's on the field, they're giving him the ball. And by the way, he's the NCAA's all-time leading rusher. This guy can make plays with the football in his hands. So the Broncos seem to like him. He seems to be one of Sean Payton's guys. And so they're going to feed him in this matchup against the Jets, which is really good. Seventh most rushing yards allowed per game to the New York Jets defense that got destroyed by Isaiah Pacheco. And that's their weakness. Like, that's how you attack this Jets defense, not to their secondary. It's through the ground game. And we know that Denver does want to try to establish the run when they can. So I like McLaughlin.
Breece Hall or Aaron Jones?
Aaron Jones.
Yeah, that is where consensus is. Breece Hall or Saquon Barkley if Barkley plays.
Oh, Breece.
Saquon Barkley, man. That's tough for me. I think.
Yeah, come on, Erickson. Breece.
I would go Breece too.
I guess.
I'm going to peer pressure you, Breece.
I just don't know how healthy Barkley is off the ankle injury.
Coming off the injury, you never know.
The Giants.
Would we be surprised if Breece comes out here and gets like 20 to 25 touches? Would that be like just absolutely shocking when the Jets are like, training wheels are off, Dalvin Cook has not played good, Okay, let's go Breece.
Look, all right, so I'm changing my answer. I'm going Breece because if I drafted Breece, I'm playing him this week. You can look at the rankings, you can look at the projections. It's like, no, if I drafted Breece Hall and I didn't start him against the Denver Broncos, then why did I draft him? It's like one of these things where it's like when you draft players that are injury prone, you start them until they get hurt. This is the process here with Breece Hall where it's like, if he's on my team, he's been on my bench, he sucked for entire month, I'm starting him against the Broncos.
Gus Edwards or Miles Sanders this week?
Gus Edwards. He is the starting running back on his team.
Please tell me this is not close for him. And I got a feeling that Miles probably wins this.
It's not close, but not in the direction you want it to be.
Oh, that's no.
Dude, Miles Sanders has been so bad.
I have a feeling, on the bus, baby.
I have a feel. It's Thursday morning right now. I have a feeling that will change by the time we get to Sunday.
People need to get on the bus.
To be fair, Gus has not really produced this year. Because, I mean, obviously there was a concussion. He hasn't gotten that many carries. Last week he had his most attempts of the season with 15. I mean, his weekly finishes are 41. This is just at running back. 41, 18, 42, and 38 in half PPR. But I am with you guys. Obviously, I'm with you guys. You know, I love Gus. Like, he not only is he the bell cow at this point, he's also the closer. And we think that this Steelers team is not good. They usually play the Ravens close, but we think the Ravens are going to win. Therefore, Gus is going to be the guy late that's going to get all those carries.
Baltimore is going to pummel them this
week.
Worm,
correct me if I'm wrong. Doesn't Gus Edwards was always good against the Steelers, even when their run defense was actually good? Because I remember like citing stats where it's like, the Steelers haven't given up a 100-yard rusher since Gus Edwards did it.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
you got to make me pull up.
Gus is
Edwards
good against everybody.
Scores.
If he gets the usage, Gus is a good running back. He's
he
a great fit in the
last week,
I've been saying
so.
It forever.
Yeah, that's why I felt
confident. The other thing on Gus, too, is like Lamar in recent years hasn't run as much near the goal line. He has this year, and that's hurt Gus because Gus has not been getting those touchdowns. But those are going to come just the way they like to use him. So, I'm with you. I like Gus. I get why people might be looking at what he's done this year and a little hesitant, but I think he has a really nice week this week.
Last four matchups versus the Steelers, 66 yards, 10, 87, and 130. That's his last four games versus them.
He's a good running back, and he's a good fit for a slobber knocker.
People. Get on the bus.
Like this one. And then lastly, Erickson, just give me a big name that you're going to start McLaughlin over this week.
Ramondre, I guess is a big name I would do. Like,
wow.
I thought about putting Ramondre on my sit. I was thinking about putting him there because, look, it's for me, like, I have him on teams. I'm not sitting him just because I love Ramondre, but I'm giving you permission as the listener. It's like, he sucked for 4 weeks. He's getting as much volume as he can have. It's a bad matchup against the Saints, and he's on the injury report. Like, I'm hoping that, again, not hoping that he's hurt, but I'm hoping that an injury is the reason he's not been the explosive self that he has shown us that he can be. And that's what's limiting. Also, the Patriots offensive line has been really bad at like opening holes, especially their interior. They've had a lot of injuries. So if you're just really frustrated with Ramondre, again, if this was a different matchup, I think that you could probably do it. But I think in this particular spot, Ramondre is someone that I'm not trying to jam into my lineups. And I would take a guy like McLaughlin, who I think is more upside personally.
The NFL season is going strong, and DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking new customers up with an offer that's even stronger. Bet $5 on any game this week to score $200 instantly in bonus bets. And DraftKings isn't stopping there. All customers can take advantage of a sweetener offer every game day this October. This week, I am very excited for what should be an excellent Sunday night football matchup between Dallas and San Francisco, two of the best defenses in football. And yet the total is 45. On DraftKings. The spread is 49ers by 3.5 on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. So San Francisco is getting some real respect as one of the last two undefeated teams left standing. However you bet that one, get in on the game day greatness. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code FANTASYPROS. New customers can score $200 instantly in bonus bets when you bet $5 on the NFL. That's code FANTASYPROS. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas. Licensee partner Golden Nugget Lake Charles, Louisiana. 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. D-Bro, hit me with your must-start receivers.
All right. Well, I know that they demolished passing attack last week, but we're going back to the well, baby. I want Michael Pittman versus Tennessee Titans. Ninth most fantasy points per game allowed to wide receivers. Christian Fulton and Sean Murphy Bunting both giving up over 117 passer ratings in their coverage. Pittman's going to have himself a day. Next guy I'm going to bring up here, and we're going to go down the line a little bit. And we talked about previously, like, our worries a little bit about CJ Stroud, things like that. Like, I'm worried about CJ Stroud this week. I am not worried about Bob Woods. I am starting Bobby Trees. I want to sit here and be above consensus on him. I understand we've had big games out of Nico. We've had big games out of Tank. Robert Woods gets the best matchup on the board against D. Alford in the slot. He's going to run at least half of his routes against D. Alford. D. Alford, 125.8 passer rating allowed in his coverage. I think Robert Woods is going to be get peppered with targets this week. And last guy I got to bring up here, Worm, you'll like this one. Say Flowers, baby. Pittsburgh Steelers have been demolished. Per my dude, Scott Barrett, the wide receiver ones against Pittsburgh. Brandon Ayuk went for 32 points. Amari Cooper, 16. Devontae Adams destroyed them for 42 points. Nico Collins, 35 fantasy points in that game. Zay Flowers is going to crush. You've seen a lot of man coverage from the Steelers. Zay Flowers can eat that up for days. I think he's going to have, along with the bus, Zay Flowers is going to have a day.
You know I do like hearing that one. Do you worry at all about, you know, Odell looks like he might be back. Rashad Bateman looks like he might be back.
No.
Them just sort of spreading things around a bit.
No, because the fact of it is that Odell has not commanded targets even when he's been on the field. Same thing with Rashad Bateman. And that makes me really sad to say, but Shoddy B is not the same guy that I loved as a prospect. I think the foot injuries really have taken something from him.
By the way, Robert Woods, you said you want to be above consensus on him. In the expert consensus rankings, he's only wide receiver 44. So it's not going to be hard for you to be above consensus.
Oh, I've got him. Bobby Woods, where are you at right now? I've got him at wide receiver. He is inside my top 36. Like right now, I've got him at wide receiver 32.
Okay, so very, very above consensus on him. Then you are buying in big. Let's do some one-on-ones here. Michael Pittman or Calvin Ridley this week?
Oh, Pittman. I'm going Pittman easy.
Robert Woods or Rashid Shaheed?
Woods. This is a terrible matchup for Shaheed. Shaheed feasts versus zone coverage. That's not what you're going to see in New England. So I think it's a big, it's a lot of targets to Chris Olave. Not much for Shaheed this week.
Okay, that's a good note. And then Zay Flowers or Nico Collins? These guys are back to back in the consensus rankings.
Zay Flowers. I want nothing to do with those outside corners for the Atlanta Falcons. And I think that CJ Stroud doesn't want anything to do with them either. I've got Zay right now as my wide receiver 17 for the week.
Okay. He's 20 in ECR. So you are also above consensus on him. Quickly, Erickson, Zay Flowers, what do you expect from him this week?
I expect a really big game from Zay Flowers, because the thing with the Steelers is, they have a really good pass rush, but like if the pass rush doesn't get there, their secondary just gets absolutely decimated by whatever receivers they're trying to cover. Like Patrick Peterson, man. Oh, God.
I will say for as good as he's looked, Lamar has been at his worst in not just against the Steelers, but in Pittsburgh in his career. That's where he's played the worst, like pretty by far.
He's going to crush them this week.
I sure hope so. Say goodbye to your own Start Sit dilemmas with Fantasy Pros Start Sit Assistant. Within seconds, you'll know exactly who to play for optimal results each week. Leveraging insights from numerous experts, the Start Sit Assistant aligns your lineup decisions with the top minds in fantasy football, giving you a competitive edge. Maximize your lineup's potential with just a few clicks. Head to fantasypros.com/myplaybook and make winning decisions in no time. Erickson, give me your must-start receivers.
All right. We're going to start with Marquise Hollywood-Brown for the Arizona Cardinals. I like Brown in this matchup against Cincinnati Bengals. Look, he's averaging 8 targets, 60 receiving yards per game, 27% target share, 44% air yard share, which is 7th among all players this year. So he's seeing a lot of the downfield looks that are coming from Josh Dobbs. And the Bengals are facing the highest average depth of target this season at 10.3. So Marquise Brown is getting the targets. He's been really consistent. We're liking what we're seeing from Josh Dobbs. And they're attacking, or teams are attacking the Bengals downfield. And that's where Marquise Brown can pick up chunk yardage. So even if we're seeing more opportunities for a Michael Wilson, who I also do like in this matchup as well, Marquise Brown has still kind of been the alpha guy getting the majority of targets. So I do like Marquise Brown as a guy you probably drafted as a bench receiver that, you know, I get a lot of questions about him where it's like, do I start this guy? Like, I draft him as a bench guy, but he keeps outproducing all my starters. And it's like, well, maybe you should just slide him into your starting lineup. You know, he's played really well. And he's definitely shown some chemistry with Josh Dobbs. My next guy here is Tutu Atwell for the LA Rams. I know he kind of had a down week last week, but he still saw a decent amount of targets in the offense. Cooper Kupp, we're still not sure if he's going to play in this particular matchup. He says that he wants to play, but the Rams might be kind of like, okay, we're going to hold you back. We want to make sure you're 100%. So it does change a little bit if Cooper Kupp ends up suiting up. But Atwell mostly plays in the slot for the Rams. And that's how you attack the Eagles' defense. Like, you attack the Eagles' secondary with their safeties and their slot corners. They had a lot of injuries, and they've allowed the 5th most fantasy points per game to slot wide receivers, 9th in total receiving yards per game to wide receivers overall. So I do like Tutu Atwell coming off a subpar game where he still saw 9 targets. Like, he still had a strong game from a usage standpoint, and, you know, he's very easily taken over whatever Van Jefferson. But Van Jefferson has just been running cardio routes for the Rams, where Atwell has really taken on that number 2 role beside Puka Nacua. So I do like the interior attacking that with Tutu Atwell. And then sticking with playing players against the Broncos, Garrett Wilson. Again, Garrett Wilson has been a player that people have been probably hesitantly starting in their lineup just because he keeps on delivering. And I think this is a matchup where we're finally expecting him to actually have a good game. You know, they have Patrick Surtain, and that scared a lot of people away from DJ Moore last week. DJ Moore had a massive game against the Denver Broncos. It didn't even matter because, yes, Surtain is going to be on Garrett Wilson for a little bit of the game. We saw Surtain shadow DJ Moore on over 50% of his routes, but that also means that on the other 40% of his routes, he's running against other cornerbacks on the Denver Broncos, like Damari Mathis, who is absolutely horrible, who's allowing a nearly perfect passer rating when he's in coverage this season. So Garrett Wilson, you can't feel confident about starting him most weeks attached to Zach Wilson. But again, the Denver Broncos are the gift that keeps giving on defense. So you got to fire up your Jets if you have them. And that starts with Garrett Wilson, who, despite the fact that he's been playing with Zach Wilson all year long, he's actually been really solid still. You know, top 5 in target share, top 10 in air yard share. He has the same points as Christian Kirk, Jamar Chase, Chris Olave, Gabe Davis, and Amari Cooper in PPR. Garrett Wilson. And that's with Zach Wilson as his quarterback. So he's been able to overcome, you know, the quarterback woes, and now he finally has a matchup that I think that he can actually take advantage of.
You said before we started recording, Erickson, that you were disappointed none of us had the cojones to pick Zach Wilson as our must-start quarterback coming off of an impressive Sunday night performance, and of course now facing the Broncos. This is kind of your way of giving a little shine on Wilson, I guess, by picking his number one receiver here, I suppose. Let's do some one-on-one comparisons here. Marquise Brown or Nico Collins?
I think we'll start Marquise Brown. I know Nico Collins has been on fire, but again, just looking at the new matchup, I just don't really love it for CJ Stroud in this passing game. So I'm going to go with Marquise Brown.
Well, the next guy is also I'm taking from this Texans passing game, Tutu Atwell or Tank Dell?
I'm going to go with Tutu Atwell. As long as Cooper Kupp doesn't play, I'll say with that caveat. But Atwell has been really heavily involved, and I like Stafford in the spot here with his receivers.
And then lastly, Garrett Wilson or Terry McLaurin, who plays tonight if you're listening to this on Thursday.
I think I'm going to take McLaurin. Oh, he's playing the Bears. I think maybe
this one is very close, I will say.
I'll probably lean towards McLaurin, even though I think Garrett Wilson's the better actual wide receiver. McLaurin's still a very good receiver, too. So I think McLaurin's probably the safe guy. But if I had Garrett Wilson on my team and I drafted him, like, again, this is going back to the whole, I want to play my Jets this week. Like, this opportunity doesn't happen so often where you can actually start them and feel good about it. So again, my ranking is probably Sam McLaurin, but my heart says Garrett Wilson.
Let's move to the must start quarterback, tight end, and defense segment. D-Bro, give me one of each.
I'm going to sit here and double down with Erickson here. And Matthew Stafford is a must start. And people can look at the Eagles defense and say, oh, you really want to face that? Yeah, I do. They're a pass funnel. You're not going to be able to run the ball on the Eagles run defense. So what if the Rams want to move the ball this week, what are they going to do? They're going to have to throw. And teams have had success doing that. Seventh highest passer rating allowed this year. Sixth most fantasy points per game allowed to quarterbacks. Third most passing touchdowns. Yeah, Matthew Stafford is going to be a top 12 quarterback in my ranks. Tight end that I got to bring up here, and I put this out on social media. This could be the breakout game for Dalton Kincaid. Jacksonville Jaguars are not only been terrible versus tight ends, but you look at slot production they're allowed. Trey Herndon in the slot has not been able to stop anybody. 145 passer rating in his coverage. Dalton Kincaid has taken over the routes more in the last two games. He's got a 65% route rate over Dawson Knox's 54%. This could be the massive breakout game for Dalton Kincaid. I want to be ahead of that. And the defense I got to start this week, is going to be the Detroit Lions. Why are people not giving this defense their flowers? Why are people not understanding how good Detroit's defense has been? They're a shutdown run defense. They can get after the pass, so they're seventh in pressure rate. Bryce Young has not been able to do anything this season. I don't even understand why Detroit is still out on the waiver wire in so many different leagues.
I don't know either. I grabbed them everywhere I could. This week's specifically, I am right there with you. Debra, I'm going to give you a chance to be bold here, although it may not be that bold based on how this second guy has played this year. Are you starting Dalton Kincaid over Dallas Goedert this week?
I am not. I'm playing Dallas Goedert because I think that he's the skeleton key for how you beat the Rams this week.
I tried to let you be aggressive here and have a bold stance, and you just said no.
Would you start him
over
Evan Engram?
It right back to me.
Start him over Evan Engram?
Yes, I will.
Where do you have Kincaid ranked, D-Bro?
I've got Kincaid ranked. Let me see. Where is Dalton Kincaid?
He's at tight end 12 in ECR.
Oh, I've got Dalton Kincaid ranked right now at tight end 9, right ahead of Sir Evan Engram.
Okay, so you are starting here ahead of Engram. Erickson, give me your QB tight end and defense.
My must-start quarterback is Green Bay Packers QB 1, Jordan Love. I like the Green Bay Packers implied team total. They're facing the Raiders. It's a really good matchup for Jordan Love. Every quarterback that the Raiders have faced has thrown for double-digit touchdowns, aside from Justin Herbert last week, who was playing with like a broken finger. And he still had two rushing touchdowns. So I like Jordan Love a lot in this spot, even though he's playing on the road on Monday night. I think that the Raiders are just one of these defenses, again, similar to the Broncos. It's the gift that keeps on giving, especially at the quarterback position. And Green Bay has been really efficient on offense. Fourth best in red zone offense, 11th best on third downs. I think they're going to be able to move the football. I mean, basically, the Raiders' only answer on defense is Max Crosby. And if you can find a way to, like, triple team him, like, there's no one else on this Raiders defense that can stop anybody. So I think that with extra rest coming off their Thursday night, you know, pretty poor performance where their offensive line basically was in shambles against Aiden Hutchinson, I think that they're going to right the ship, get the pass protection shored up. And I think that they're going to be able to keep Jordan Love clean in the pocket, and he's going to be able to operate. And he's got his two explosive toys back between Christian Watts and Aaron Jones, hopefully back to 100%. I think that's going to add more upside to Jordan Love. So he's been really productive in fantasy. I think that there's no reason to stop playing Jordan Love. So keep him in your lineups. Tight end must start Tyler Higbee. Look, coming off a game, 10 targets. He had a team high, 28% target share, 85 air yards. And the Eagles, again, you attack them through the middle of their defense. That's why I like Atwell. That's why I like Tyler Higbee. And the Eagles have allowed the most fantasy points per game to tight ends this season. Like, they bleed fantasy points to tight ends. So Higbee's been up and down. He's had a couple good games, a couple bad games where he's disappeared. But they've shown that with last week, 10 targets, like, he can see volume in this offense, especially with the Rams dialing up pass-happy attempts with Matthew Stafford. I think this game is going to be a shootout in the Dome in L.A. I think Tyler Higbee's going to be a big part of it. So he's one of my favorite streaming tight ends you can pick up off the waiver wire. I think it's a great matchup for him. And he's a full-time player. Ran a route on 89% of the dropbacks, right in line with his 90% rate from week 3. So I really like Higbee. And then at DST, Miami Dolphins, basically available because they played the Bills the week before, and Daniel Jones got sacked 10 times. Paris Campbell added another sack of his own. 11 sacks for the Giants on Monday Night Football. And then the Giants actually came out of that game with more offensive line injuries than they entered the game with. So Andrew Thomas looks like he's not even going to play. Again, I mentioned the other O-line injuries. Miami's defense is not good, but I mean, the Giants offense is equally as bad. It's the classic case of the movable object versus the stoppable force. And I'm going to go bet on the Dolphins here.
When your movable objects like Evan Neal decide to block players on their own team, it's kind of a problem.
I was dying at the Evan Neal comps to Eric Flowers, and I'm like, oh no, this is so bad. Like,
rough.
I was like, why is Eric Flowers trending? I was at that horrible tackle in the Giants draft, and because he's being comped to Evan Hall, who's also a top 10 pick, and so far has not paid dividends for where the Giants took him. So, yes, you want to target the Giants. I mean, the Seahawks defense is horrible. And the Giants can move the ball against them. So, yeah, I think Miami's in a good spot.
Seahawks defense was a weak winner because they were facing the Giants. And that tells you everything you need to know given the state of that defense. Quickly, Erickson, would you go so far as to start Jordan Love over Joe Burrow?
No. I actually almost thought about making Joe Burrow my start of the week, but I know I did that last week and it burst into flames. But I still have confidence
done that most weeks.
I think that Burrow is going to bounce back. So
yeah, I put that in the primer too. When I wrote up Joe Burrow, I was like, this could be the big vintage bounce back game for Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow optimism is not easy to find right now. So you got a couple of guys who are buying in for this week at least. Quick recap here. Must start running backs. Tyler Allgeier, Aaron Jones, James Conner, Breece Hall, Gus Edwards, Jaleel McLaughlin. Must start wide receivers. Michael Pittman, Robert Woods, Zay Flowers, Marquise Brown, Tutu Atwell, Garrett Wilson. Must start quarterbacks. Matthew Stafford and Jordan Love. Must start tight ends. Dalton Kincaid and Tyler Higbee. And the must start defenses / special teams are the Lions and the Dolphins. Sits. Let's jump right in with the must-sit running backs. And Erickson, we'll start with you. Who are you looking at this week that you don't want to be starting in your lineups?
Najee Harris is the first guy I don't want to start. He's been pretty bad this year overall, so you've probably not been starting with confidence anyway. But again, another tough matchup coming up for him facing the Baltimore Ravens. They're sixth in expected points added on run defense, seventh fewest rushing yards allowed per game this year. They're the only team to not allow a rushing touchdown. And really, the only running back that's done anything against them was Zach Moss. And it took 30 carries and overtime for Zach Moss to be productive against this Ravens defense. So for me, Najee Harris, who is in a 50-50 committee with Jaylen Warren. Look, the Steelers offense is a total mess right now. I know Kenny Pickett's supposed to play, but how effective is he going to be? Matt Canada's offense is, again, awful. This team needs the bye week to get healthy and to figure things out on offense. So for me, Najee is a floor play at best. And you're just praying. I mean, the guy the last 2 weeks has had good matchups and has like barely gotten there. He led the team in receiving yards last week because he caught a pass for 32 yards. Like, that's not going to happen again for Najee Harris. So he's someone that I think he's more like an RB3 this week. So I really try to get away from using him. The next guy here is Jahmyr Gibbs. Look, he played 37% of the snaps last Thursday. It was his lowest snap rate since week one, 12 touches. Look, in PPR, I get it because he's going to catch a couple passes outside of the backfield and the matchup is pretty good against the Carolina Panthers, but Dave Montgomery's the RB1 in the Lions' backfield. Like, I don't know what else we need to see. When he's healthy, it's Dave Montgomery's show. They give him all the red zone looks. So Gibbs, again, is a floor play at best. You're hoping you're going to get some points from him. He's been outside the top 24 running backs in three of his four games played, the one game obviously being what Montgomery missed. So he's outside the top 24 for me as someone that, again, it's a floor play at best with bye weeks. And then lastly is Samaje Perine. It doesn't look like Javonte Williams is going to play in this game. And I think that might suggest to some people, I should play Samaje Perine. Like, he's the backup. Like, he's the next guy. But like, I don't really see his role changing that much. I think they're really going to lean on the rookie Jaleel McLaughlin more than Samaje Perine, who's still going to be operating on third downs, catching passes out of the backfield. And I just don't see this as a game where, they're down big against the New York Jets. They're going to have to rev up the pace, and Perine's going to catch a bunch of dump offs. And Perine's just not that good either. Like, he had a couple good games last year, filling in for Joe Mixon, but he's been a Jag most of his NFL career, and I think that there's a reason why you're already seeing the Broncos play a rookie running back, undrafted guy, over him just last week. So even if Javonte Williams is out, I would not be fooled into playing confidence or with Samaje Perine and starting him this week.
Do you think, Erickson, that there's going to be a week where Gibbs just like has the big breakout game and sort of rests this from David Montgomery? Or do you think, barring an injury or Montgomery like really falling off a cliff for the Lions in Dan Campbell's eyes, that it's just not going to happen?
I think that he might have a big game, but it's like, it's one of these things. Are you forecasting or are you wish casting? Like, that's kind of the way I see it is we're wish casting it to be the big Gibbs game. Like, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's like, okay, well, maybe, but it could happen at the end of the season, like in week 16. So, again, I still think he's an interesting buy low player, but until we actually see him, you know, unseat David Montgomery, which isn't going to be the case because Montgomery's played really well. Like, Montgomery has a really good success rate. I get that his yards per carry is not amazing and people are complaining how he runs like a bowling ball, but dude, he's getting yards. He's getting yards, he's scoring touchdowns, he's getting first downs. Like, what else do you want your running back to do? So he doesn't do it in the sexiest way, but I don't think Dan Campbell really cares. They never went away with Jamal Williams last year. It's like, again, I don't want to compare it to DeAndre Swift, but the Lions are cooking right now. They should be undefeated. You know, if it weren't for that one overtime loss to the Seahawks, they would be 4-0. And I don't think they're going to change things up just for the sake of changing things up to get the rookie running back more involved. They like what they've seen from him so far, but I think that he's just a RB2, RB3 guy in PPR until we see something different.
Let's go into our Who Should I Start tool. This is free to use for anybody at fantasypros.com/start. It's a player comparison tool. Every time I ask about a couple of players and give you the percentages of how many experts are picking one side versus the other, this is using that tool. We're using the half PPR setting on that tool. So, Erickson, would you rather start this week, or I guess what I said, would you rather sit this week, Najee Harris or Miles Sanders?
Woof. don't like either guy. Man, that one is tough. Miles Sanders is losing out to work to Chuba Hubbard, and I don't know if he's healthy either. Ugh. I guess Najee. I mean, I don't want to play running backs against the Lions. Like, the Lions have been a really good run defense dating back to last year. So, and Sanders is already, I guess I'll just play the healthier guy in Najee. And I guess if you look at some advanced metrics, he's apparently become the super explosive running back, even though if you just watch the games, like, I don't think that he is explosive. He just had a couple big runs. So I guess I would go towards Najee begrudgingly.
How about Jahmyr Gibbs or Damian Pierce?
Damian Pierce for me. I think it's just a volume play. You're more confident in him just getting volume.
And then lastly, this one is exactly 50-50 in the tool. So break the tie for us. So Samaje Perine or A.J. Dillon?
Oh, God. A.J. Dillon. Oh. See, AJ Dillon's going to go off now because he's playing the Raiders and everybody hates him and dropped him the past week. I guess I'll just go with Perine.
All right. Well, thank you for breaking that tie. D-Bro, really quickly before we get to yours, Perine or Dillon, would you agree with Erickson there?
Yeah, I'll go Perine on that one. It's gross. The only reason I'm going Perine is because I think Sean Payton wants to go Perine. Like, after Javonte went out, it was Perine's show, or at least he played 60% of the snaps. And I'm like, it's gross, yeah. But...
Ugh. All right, D-Rock, give me your three must-sit running backs in week 5.
I'm going to start this off with, we do not need to be playing running backs against the Tennessee Titans. So whether JT plays this week or whether it's Zach Moss, I don't want to play either one of these guys. I get if you have to. And if you have to, seriously temper expectations. We've seen what this looks like. People rush to play Josh Kelly and Jerome Ford versus the Tennessee Titans. Had that work out for you. Not good? Mm-hmm. So either one of those guys, I really want to sit if I can. The other guy is Isaiah Pacheco. And I know that I'm saying this, and Isaiah Pacheco is coming off a monster game, 158 total yards. But going against the Minnesota Vikings, look, their secondary might not be great, but their run defense has been. Third lowest explosive run rate allowed, sixth lowest yards after contact per attempt. I think this is a game that the Chiefs want to move the ball. They're going to have to do it through the air. So if you've got better options at the wide receiver position or what, where have you, to play in the flex over Pacheco, I think you need to do it. The last guy I'm going to bring up here is, yeah, I'm sitting Miles Sanders. I want no part of the Detroit Lions run defense. I keep saying it to people, keep writing up in the primer. They are elite. Elite. This run defense needs to be discussed in the same way that we talk about Tennessee. We talk about San Francisco. Run defense is where we're like, oh, man, I don't want any part of that. Fifth fewest fantasy points per games allowed, fantasy points per game allowed to running backs. Yeah, I cannot play Miles Sanders, especially after last week when he lost work, like Erickson brought up, to Chuba Hubbard. And whether you want to say that's health or effectiveness, either way, it could be one and the same. But I don't want anything to do with Miles Sanders this week.
I want to ask you, since you brought him up specifically about Jonathan Taylor, we actually have a poll up on yesterday's episode on Spotify. Everybody can go vote in that and share their opinion here. It's about Jonathan Taylor. And the poll is, Jonathan Taylor returned to practice on Wednesday. He's 27th in the Week 5 consensus running back rankings. Is that too low, too high, or just right? So I want to get both your opinions on that. D-Bro, RB27 for Taylor. I know you want to sit him because of the matchup, but is RB27 too low, too high, or just right?
It's just right. I mean, right now I've got Zach Moss as a placeholder in my rankings because we don't know if Taylor's going to play or not. So I've got Moss in there at RB27. So I'm firmly with consensus on this one.
Erickson, what do you think? RB27 for Taylor, assuming he's the one who plays?
Yeah, I think that that's a fair assessment. I mean, we don't know what his role is going to necessarily be. Don't know if he's going to play. It's a bad matchup. But it's hard to just say he's an outright sit, because if you drafted Jonathan Taylor on your team, like, the chances are you may not have another running back at your RB2. I know I have teams that I am dying to play Jonathan Taylor this week.
Yeah.
Like I don't even care if they said he's on a snap count. Like, I'm playing him because I have no other options. So, yeah, that's kind of where I stand.
I am in the same spot as well on more than one team. the results of that poll so far, too low is getting 36%. Just right is getting 37%. And then too high is down at 26%. So it's fairly even poll, but just right is just barely edging out too low. D-Bro, let's do some player comps here. Either of those Colts running backs, you know, Taylor or Moss, if Taylor doesn't play, or Jaleel McLaughlin.
I would take Taylor over McLaughlin. I would not take Moss over McLaughlin. So I don't know how we're going to parse that. But
that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, it really, and the lean with Taylor only comes down to his explosive ability. Like, if he could break off one long run, then he probably pays off for the day.
Yeah, he's the type of running back that could, if you're going to have success against Tennessee, it would be more him than kind of a more plotter volume guy in Moss. How about Isaiah Pacheco or Raheem Mostert this week?
I'm going to go Mostert. And I know Mostert popped up on the injury report or missed practice, but as long as he's going to be healthy and he's out there, he's going to get enough work where, versus the Giants, they have been terrible versus all things running back. So I would go Mostert.
And then lastly, going up against a player that Erickson wants to sit this week, Miles Sanders or Najee Harris?
I'm going to take Najee in that one. And that's just a bet on volume. I know that Najee's going to get 15 to 18 touches in that game where I don't know that we can confidently say the same thing for Miles Sanders. And especially, I think as bad as the matchup is for Najee, it's even worse for Miles.
Yeah. For all you fantasy players looking for something new, Fantasy Sports Evo offers a unique twist to daily fantasy sports. They offer a variety of contests where you select teams, not players, to build your fantasy lineup and compete for cash prizes. No need to worry about a player injury ruining your lineup. No sharks. Evo's single and limited entry contests help ensure fair play. No salary caps. Select any teams you like. Super easy, super fun, and for all sports fans, teams are selected for specific scoring categories and points accrue from individual player statistics for that category. Just choose your contest, pick your teams, and watch as your lineup climbs the leaderboard with our live scoring. So join Fantasy Sports Evo today and claim your 100% deposit match. Terms apply. Visit fantasysportsevo.com or download the app, available in both stores, and start winning today. Again, that's fantasysportsevo.com. Erickson, must sit wide receivers. Who you got?
I'm going to start across the pond here, Christian Kirk playing in London against the Buffalo Bills. I don't like the matchup. Bills have allowed the fourth fewest fantasy points to slot wide receivers this season. Starting slot cornerback Taron Johnson has been pretty good this year, ranks third in coverage snaps per target, with teams shying away from him. You know, he's with him providing some tight coverage against some of these slot wide receivers. We have the potential for Zay Jones making a return. He's been limited in practice so far this week. And we saw in the one full game that Zay Jones played, Christian Kirk was invisible. Like, he pulled an early Halloween costume. He was a ghost. So we didn't see a lot from Christian Kirk. So I'm concerned that we're going to see Kirk's targets and production start to dip here a little bit in a tough matchup against the Buffalo Bills. The next guy for me is Drake London. He caught a touchdown last week. He almost caught two touchdowns, actually. He was just ruled out of bounds in playing in London. But I don't like the matchup here either against the Texans defense. Very stingy against wide receivers, allowing the second fewest fantasy points per game to the position. Third fewest points allowed to wide receivers aligned out wide, where they've been more suspect against slot receivers. So Drake London has primarily been operating as a perimeter wide receiver for the Atlanta Falcons, whereas Kyle Pitts has really been more of that slot guy. So if you want to roll the dice on Kyle Pitts, be my guest. But again, it's another tough spot where it's just hard to trust a lot of these Falcons receivers, especially now that the matchup is not necessarily great. So he needs a touchdown basically to kind of salvage his day as he's done this season. And no team has allowed a lower passing touchdown rate than the Houston Texans. So probably not a spot to chase a score for Drake London. And the last thing, I'm actually going back to London here for the other game, Gabe Davis. I like the under in this game overall. So I'm not looking at it, okay, this Gabe Davis is playing in a shootout. Like, that's when you want to play a player like Gabe Davis, a boomer bust wide receiver three. That this game doesn't really profile to that for me. I mean, he's had a pretty low target share. He only has one game with more than four targets. He has three touchdowns in three consecutive games. So it's like, all right, well, he's going to turn back into a pumpkin eventually. So I think I'll try to get away from Gabe Davis to kind of view him as like a sell high candidate. You can ship him off because he's not getting a lot of targets, kind of like what we saw last year. He's just running hot on touchdown production. So some tough cornerbacks for Jacksonville on the perimeter between Darius Williams, Tyson Campbell. I think they can do enough to slow down Gabe Davis. So I think this is a week where we're going to see him be that bust as opposed to the boom we've seen the last 3 weeks.
It's the all-London grouping of receivers for you. Two guys playing in London and one guy named London. So I appreciate you staying thematically, you know, together there. D-Bro, I want to ask you on Gabe Davis. I feel like he's somebody we haven't actually, for despite the fact that he's ranked in the range of players we would usually talk about on this show, I feel like we haven't actually talked about him that often week to week. What do you make of him so far this year and in this matchup specifically?
Yeah, I mean, this basically it's Gabe Davis. You play him versus teams that struggle versus deep passing, and that is definitely not this matchup. So I'm with Erickson on the fact that you need to be sitting him and shying away. It really comes down to, and I used to say this all the time with MVS, it was like, is a team versus bad versus deep passing? Okay, play MVS. Yeah, are they good versus it? Okay, sit MVS. It's pretty easy. Same thing with Gabe Davis. And I love the fact that Erickson's bringing up all these Halloween references throughout the show. It makes me want to go out and buy some Halloween candy right now.
We are in that time. I mean, it's only a couple
spooky
weeks
season.
Away.
Spooky season.
I'm not going to have any. You know, everybody yelled at me for all of my movie takes. I'm not going to have any hot Halloween candy takes. Candy is just objectively good. It, you know, I'm not going to dump on anybody who like, I mean, I'm a chocolate guy.
I was ready
over,
for the
like,
comments too, man. I'm ready for you to come in here and you know what?
I have a chocolate guy over any sort of sour or fruitiness, like chocolate. And I actually don't really like caramel that much, but in general, Halloween candy, good. I'm not going to, you know, hate on anybody who likes any sort of favorite. Erickson, Christian Kirk or Christian Watson this week?
I'm going to go with Christian Watson. I like, again, he's another boomer bust kind of wide receiver that I like in this matchup against the Raiders. Playing in a dome, the Raiders can give up a lot of big plays. Raiders are one of these defenses that they have like one guy in Max Crosby that's like doing everything on defense. And if the team can stop him, then they have no shot of stopping the offense that they're facing. So Jordan Love has been super efficient this year. I think adding that explosive element to Watson to that offense, I think it's a good match. So I will go with the Christian Watson over Christian Kirk.
Drake London or the guy who had a breakout last week, Michael Wilson?
I think Michael Wilson's actually an interesting start this week. I think that the matchup against the Cincinnati Bengals is pretty good. I'm not afraid of their secondary. And Michael Wilson's has been on the upward trajectory. He has a full-time role playing in that offense. Marquise Brown has been the target earner through the first 4 weeks, but Michael Wilson has been really efficient. I believe that he has like one of the highest passer ratings generated when targeted this season. I think it's almost nearly perfect. So it's one of these things where how do we project a player to get more targets? Well, when you look at the targets that they get and how productive they are, the coaches are going to look at that and be like, wow, like we should get the ball to Michael Wilson more because every time we do, something good happens. So let's get him the ball more. So I like Michael Wilson there.
You are going against the tool there. Under 10% are picking Wilson over London, but I actually think that's the right call too, given this week. And then lastly, Gabe Davis or DeAndre Hopkins this week?
I think DeAndre Hopkins has the safer floor, and he's also playing a pretty bad secondary. So I would go
with
Hopkins.
Please tell me this is not close in the tool. Please tell me that.
That one was like three quarters go towards Gabe Davis. They're ranked close together.
Really?
But most people, yeah, Gabe Davis about 77%. DeAndre Hopkins about 23%. They're ranked very close, but more people are picking Davis.
That's being a prisoner of the touchdown. Well,
I mean, I think it's probably more related to just like upside. I mean, is Hopkins ever going to catch a touchdown from Ryan Tannehill?
He will this week versus the Colts. Calling it.
All right. Touchdown call. Anytime TD call. Let's go.
Go ahead and place that bet now. D-Bro, give me your three must-sit receivers.
All right. Jordan Addison's going to kick this off, man. And part of this comes down to, I don't understand the Vikings' infatuation with KJ Osborne, but it's real. It's just like a bad habit they can't kick. I mean, looking at Addison, he's still not getting the run. His route run rate hops between 66% and 76%, but it's still less than KJ Osborne. And not only that, he's not getting the targets. 12.5% target share? That's not nearly enough. Plus, you add on the fact that the Kansas City Chiefs have not been allowing any production to wide receivers. Fifth fewest fantasy points per game allowed, so Addison is a must-sit. Then I'm going to go over to Cortland Sutton. I want nothing to do with the tandem of Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed. Both of these guys are extremely talented cornerbacks. If anything, I think that this could be a Jerry Jeudy breakout game because you're just staying away from those two corners because they don't travel. They play their sides. It's really easy to avoid both of those. And if you wanted to pick on Michael Carter in the slot, you could. And third guy I got to bring up here, George Pickens. I mean, I get that he had the one really awesome game. A lot of that was on a broken play, wide receiver 11 that week. Were you really happy with George Pickens when you started him in other weeks? Wide receiver 38, wide receiver 65. And I understand he's getting the volume, but now this week, he faces a secondary that's allowed the second fewest fantasy points per game to opposing wide receivers. Brandon Stevens and Ronald Darby are playing extremely good football. Both of them are allowing under passer ratings of under 80 right now. I think this is a game where if Pittsburgh wants to win the game, they need to lean on Najee. They need to play slow and lean on their defense. And that means not much George Pickens.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, you including Addison here, D-Row, because if you remember, on just last week's Friday show with you, me, and Fitz, our key question for the Vikings game was, is Jordan Addison kind of slowly becoming a must-start receiver? And now here we are 1 week later. Not only is he not a must-start, he's actively a must-sit, according to you. So that was a disappointing turnaround. I'm with you on sitting Pickens. I know that the Ravens secondary, like, I don't think Marlon Humphrey will play, and that is like a trouble for them, but they've played so much better than we expected. They should get Marcus Williams back at least. Like, the defense is just playing so well despite the injuries, and now they're getting healthier. It's really hard for me to pick a player in a struggling
offense.
Their
corners
offense
are playing
so
good. Their corners are playing so good.
So, like, much better than I had thought they would once.
The
once
fact
under,
that
it's
they
so impressive.
Can rotate all these guys in just off the street, like Brandon Stevens is playing good. Ronald Darby, that Ronald Darby is playing really good football right now. And Rockison, when they brought him in, like, legit, they go out and they pluck corners off the waiver wire and stuff and say, hey, you fit our system. And they come in, they always play really good. So,
yeah. Brandon Stevens, I've been, like, so impressed with. He's been awesome.
Yes, he is balling out, man.
Yeah. A couple of comparisons here. D-Row, George Pickens or Adam Thielen this week?
I'm going to go Thielen.
I think that's probably the right call. The tool has it close. It does slightly lean towards Pickens, but I would go with Thielen as well. This one is very close. It's basically a coin flip, and it's two of your players, Cortland Sutton or Jordan Addison.
Oh, I'm going to go Addison. I mean, it's Cortland Sutton. I'll do that just based off of volume because I can't tell you that Jordan Addison's going to get it.
I wish we could tell you he was going to get it, but sadly
we cannot.
That's
sad, man.
And then lastly, either Sutton or Addison over Drake London.
Both of them over Drake London? I want no part of that Houston secondary. And that could surprise people, but like Erickson brought up, they've been playing extremely good. Like, Steven Nelson has been playing, like, if you look at just the numbers, he's been playing like a top 12 to 15 corner in the NFL this year. Like, just out of his mind.
Yeah. Let's quickly hit some must-sit quarterbacks, tight ends, and defenses here. Erickson, who you got in this clump?
All right, I'll start with the tight ends and DSTs because those are not that fun to talk about. My quarterback one is spicy, so I'm saving the best for last. So I'm going to sit Hunter Henry. He's playing the Saints. Look, I get that Cade Otton caught a touchdown against the Saints last week, but that's Hunter Henry's game. Like, Hunter Henry has to catch a touchdown or he's not going to do anything for your lineup. And looking historically back at the Saints, so they gave up a touchdown to Cade Otton last week. They gave up one touchdown to Cade Otton last year. They've given up three total touchdowns to tight ends since the beginning of last year. Two have gone to Cade Otton. So unless your name's Cade Otton, you don't want to play the Saints because you're not going to score. So for me, Hunter Henry is going to be a player I'm trying to get away from. On the DST side, Steelers, look, their defense is good, and I think that they do have a good pass rush, but they're on bye week in week six, so that's something that you're going to probably have to drop them anyway. So I think it's smart to get ahead of it now, so you just get rid of them because you're going to drop them anyway. And their offense is playing so bad that it's setting up their defense in bad spots. Like last week, you know, it's just not a good situation for the Steelers DST. So I don't really want to play them. And like I said, they're on a bye week, so I would try to get away from them. And the Ravens offense is starting to heat up a little bit, so I would get away from them. And then at quarterback, my sit is CJ Stroud. He's playing on the road this week against the Atlanta Falcons, who I think, again, we talk all about how bad their offense is, and it's bad. But and it sucks because their defense is actually finally good.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So all these years of just picking on the Falcons, it's like, wow, now the defense is finally good and now their offense sucks, because that's, of course, how things always shake out. But they've allowed the second fewest yards after the catch, and that's really what has been a big part of why the Texans offense has been so good. Nico Collins leads the NFL in yards after the catch. You look at CJ Stroud, a lot of his yardage, almost 50% of his total passing yards have come after the catch. So yes, has he been good? Of course. But a lot of his yardage is getting tacked on because defenses aren't making tackles on the receivers he's getting the ball to. Like, they are running free in space and creating more yardage for him to get more fantasy points. They also rank fourth in pressure rate, third in quarterback knockdowns. So the thing is, like, the Texans have faced teams that have had good pass rushes, but not teams that have good pass rushes and good secondaries. The Falcons have a good secondary. That Jesse Bates is balling out based on the contract that he signed. Like, he's earning that money that he got from the Falcons in the offseason. Jeff Okuda has played really well the last 2 weeks. AJ Terrell is actually playing like a stud cornerback. So going on the road, everyone's talking about how great CJ Stroud is. I think we're going to see a little bit of regression from him here in this matchup. I know it feels weird to try to bench him in this spot because he's been so good, but just looking at the specific matchup, like, I just don't see this being a great spot for CJ Stroud to really continue his hot streak. I think we're going to run into a little bit of regression here just based on the defense he's facing.
D-Bro, you might be the only person who loves Stroud more than I do. What do you think about this pick?
I don't disagree with it, man. I love Stroud, but I've got him at QB13, and I'm probably going to bump him down just a little bit more in my ranks. Like, there's so many guys around him. Like, and Erickson's absolutely right. Now, there's a guy that when we talk about must starts eventually, I want to bring up because I think the matchup is good in that game, but for CJ Stroud overall, Erickson hit the nail on the head, man. Like, their two outside corners are playing extremely good, and there's just a lump of guys I would rather start over him this week. Like, give me Brock Purdy. Give me maybe Sam Howell, as crazy as that sounds. Jared Goff. A lot of these other... Matthew Stafford. And a lot of these other quarterbacks that were... People might not like these names, and they probably are sitting on the waiver wire somewhere, but as much as I love Stroud, this is a very tough matchup.
Erickson, the player comp I've got here is CJ Stroud or Jordan Love.
Oh, Jordan Love. Love.
Yep. Mm-hmm. About two-thirds are voting for Love. So
they should. Yep.
They're agreeing with you there. D-Bro, quarterback, tight end, and defense.
I do not want to play Dak Prescott at all. Not now. I don't know if any of the rest of this season. He has been abysmal this year. It's been bad. QB 24 in fantasy points per game. He has not finished higher than QB 17. Mike McCarthy's got his way. Dak Prescott is a game manager. He's going to run the ball. Doesn't matter. He ain't going to pass the ball. Doesn't matter. We don't like to score points. We win by not scoring points. We win by not giving the team give the ball. It's just, it's how it's going, man. And then you look at this matchup this week versus the San Francisco 49ers. Second lowest yards per attempt. Fifth lowest passer rating allowed. Seventh fewest fantasy points per game allowed to quarterbacks. No, Dak Prescott. Evan Engram, next guy I'm going to bring up here. And I understand if you have to start Evan Engram. I get it. Tight ends, ugly. Gotcha. I'm just saying, temper expectations. If there's a streamer out there with a really good matchup, I'm not against you playing them over Evan Engram. And this is not just like, okay, getting too cute. This matchup versus the Buffalo Bills is terrible. Mike Milano, when he's been around, you know, active, tight ends don't do anything. Their cover linebackers are fantastic there. Evan Engram is going against a defense that allows the seventh fewest receiving yards to opposing tight ends, zero touchdowns. So you hope you play in a PPR league and hope he catches some passes because he's probably not going to score a touchdown this week. So I got to bench Evan Ingram. And last thing I'm going to bring up here is my DST, Jacksonville Jaguars. Again, I do not want to face the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen is playing at an MVP level. You take out week one out of his season, this guy is just on another planet, different area code. Like, everybody else needs to go watch Josh Allen teach tape, because last week, he was amazing. I want no defenses versus Josh Allen right now.
Erickson, I know on our TikTok live that we did earlier this week, we talked about Evan Ingram as a top five tight end rest of season. So what do you think about his ranking here?
Well, Derek talked about how he's not going to catch a touchdown. Well, he hasn't caught a touchdown all year, and he's been tight end 7, tight end 9, tight end 7, tight end 10. So
that's fair.
I mean, I would make the argument
because the position is a poo-poo platter, man.
Right, that's fair, but he's also had 5 catches in every single game, at least 5, and at least 49 receiving. Like, he's been super consistent. Like, and that's, for me, enough of a reason to keep playing a guy. Like, why take him out of your lineup? I get that the matchup's not ideal, but you know that matchups can be somewhat skewed, especially at tight end, where it's like, well, did you play a team that uses their tight end? And Hunter Henry had fun. I mean, no, it wasn't Hunter Henry. It was, I thought there was a game that the Bills played earlier this year. They gave up a touchdown to a tight end, but that must have been with Milano not active, because I don't think that he's played all the games this year. But regardless, I just think that Ingram has been consistent enough to earn the, I think you just keep playing him, because I think that getting targets is, I mean, that's enough for a reason to play a guy at tight end.
I mean, the Bills this year, 0 touchdowns allowed to tight ends. Last year, oh, look at that. 0 touchdowns allowed to tight ends.
But again, like, Evan Ingram hasn't caught a touchdown yet this year. And he's still been a top 10 tight end every single week.
I'll say this. Tell me this, Erickson, and I've got this guy ranked above Evan Ingram, and people might think it's
starting Zach Ertz over Evan
Ingram. Oh, that's it! That's it, baby! Oh, yes! God. I'm going with Zach Ertz.
No,
yes.
No.
Why not? No. That's how you beat Cincinnati with tight ends
Zach Ertz could get 10 targets and still score less points than Evan Ingram because he's not good.
Evan Ingram could get 10 targets and not score any points this week, Erickson.
No. Zach Ertz is the biggest trap of all traps at tight end this week. I'm telling you right now, the dude had one catch going into the fourth quarter.
Okay. Fantasy points. Last week. Fantasy points, half PPR this week. Evan Ingram versus Zach PPR? Ertz.
Oh, easy money. Evan Ingram.
All right, I'll take Ertz. You're going to make me do this. This is so gross. I'll take Zach Ertz.
In the expert consensus rankings in half PPR, Evan Ingram is tight end 7 this week, and Zach Ertz is tight end 11. So that's across the whole industry. In
let's
our
go, Evan Ingram. Don't let me down.
Come on, Ertz. Let's go,
baby. Right now. Let's go.
Oh, bones. I need him. Let's go.
Very quickly, D-Row, before we wrap up, the comparison I wrote down is at the quarterback position. And it's actually a 50-50. Dak Prescott or Josh Dobbs this week?
Oh, I'll take Josh Dobbs. That guy's been putting up numbers and running. Yeah. Dak Prescott's not doing either one of those things.
Yeah. quick recap here. The must-sit running backs, Najee Harris, Jahmyr Gibbs, Samaje Perine, Zach Moss, / Jonathan Taylor, Isaiah Pacheco, Miles Sanders. Must-sit wide receivers, Christian Kirk, Drake London, Gabe Davis, Jordan Addison, Cortland Sutton, George Pickens. Quarterback at CJ Stroud and Dak Prescott. We're sitting Hunter Henry and Evan Ingram at tight end. And we are sitting the Steelers defense and the Jags defense. For D-Bro and Erickson, I am Ryan Wormley. We'll see you again next time. Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Fantasy Football Podcast. Follow us on X, Instagram, and TikTok at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, We're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network. Available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.